This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of July 9th, 2023. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 298. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and the Pacific Northwest. I award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker. And a periodic reminder, the COVID-19 pandemic is not over. Simon Fraser University Professor Emeritus of Marketing, Lindsay Meredith, is my guest. Not to talk about marketing, but to share his personal story of his struggle against long COVID. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast.
When it hits, Bob, I can't underline how much like a freight train it will hit, and it will hit so fast. So if you're thinking you got a real rough case of the flu, give a little time, a little longer. And if it suddenly hits your mind like, my God, this is unlike any flu I've ever had in my life, wake up. You might have COVID.
Lindsay Meredith's life changed in early 2020, like so many people before the pandemic was officially declared, and then even more people were affected. And it has never been the same since. Meredith came down with COVID-19 after a ski trip to Whistler. He believes he caught the virus while traveling in a gondola. Ever since then, he has been in and out of hospital, doctor's offices, medical testing labs. More than 3.5 years later, the Professor Emeritus of Marketing at Simon Fraser University is still struggling with what's generally known as long COVID. Lindsay Meredith is my guest on this edition of the podcast.
What has happened to you since early 2020?
Well, it's just been one ridiculous roller coaster ride going from sometimes bad to worse. I was classed as severe. I spent about 6 days in the hospital with it, but I was not in ICU, not ventilated. In other words, they didn't stick a tube down my throat, which is really going to put you probably on the way to deep trouble on the way out of this planet. But so I thought, okay, it was rough, but I got out of there, and then I lasted maybe about, 2 months. Suddenly, boy, not feeling good again, starting to get the wheezing back and wheezing really hard, and then back to the hospital, and 9 days in the hospital that time because it was a COVID-based pneumonia, because this bug is a bug that keeps on giving, boy. It almost hits every part of the human body. I'm talking heart, liver, lungs, brain. Not very much escapes this beast. So anyway, I got away from that, and I would get rounds where I was a little bit better, but never ever back to being in shape. Hey, you know, I'm a geezer, but Bob, I try to look after myself. I ran a mountain bike 30 miles. I downhill ski, and I ski pretty darn fast. And I can rip up an awful lot of mountain in 2 or 3 hours. And this is a bug that has just completely had me leveled all the time. And I've been back in the hospital 3 times. Last time I just got out a couple of weeks ago. I was in there about 4 days or something like that. Again, the symptoms are very simple. For everybody who might be listening, watch out. If it's a real kind of a rapid onset, and it's a rapid onset in kind of overdrive. So we ain't talking kind of, gee, I got a little sniffly nose here. We're talking, boy, I got fatigue. I can't see straight. I'm really short of breath. Those are your two biggest clues right off the top. And of course, the one you mentioned. Now, the new variants out there, the new mutant versions, don't tip off on the sense of smell loss. So you probably had Delta variant like all of us did, Bob. Now, that one was well known for wiping out your sense of smell and taste. The newer variants, like the Omicrons, they don't seem to do that as much. But certainly go by the shortness of breath and go by the fatigue factor, and you could have a whole arrangement of other issues. You could have, again, temperature. You could have a runny nose. You could have a sore throat. There could be quite a good shopping list that this thing comes with. So just be kind of a little attentive, because remember, when you get the mutants and they're changing, they will continually change with how well they transmit, as well as the kind of symptoms they pack with them.
I'm looking at the Public Health Agency of Canada's website. They do have a section about long-term effects that post-COVID-19 is relatively new. Research is ongoing. It's not well understood yet. But preliminary results from the Canadian COVID-19 Antibody and Health Survey from October 2022 found that around 15% of adults who got COVID experienced or still experience longer-term symptoms 3 or more months following their initial infection. And 47% said that they had symptoms for a year or longer.
I'm at the 16-month mark now, and I keep hoping I might be maybe breaking out of it. I got a real menu of, attentive doctors looking after me, from cardiologists to respirologists, and they're telling me about patients running 2 and 3 years.
Mm.
So, well, you know, if long-haul COVID gets into you, it could stay with you for a while. And by the way, you can get, even if you had COVID once, and you pick up a reinfection from COVID again, could you then develop long-haul COVID off that? Yes, you can. So even if it didn't get you on round one, go ahead, get lazy, get clumsy about exposing yourself. You could get set up for this on round two. And take my word, everybody, you do not want this problem. It is not fun.
The services for long COVID, there have been people who've received media attention that say that that there really aren't the services, that the public health system isn't taking this as seriously as perhaps it should.
A good point, Bob. I mean, and I have heard cases of, I heard of one case of a long-haul COVID clinic had closed or some damn thing, and I was shaking my head saying, what? Now, look, a lot of doctors are aware of a lot of these long-haul symptoms, and if your doc is not tuned in on some of this, well, easy to say, look for a new doc. Yeah, good luck on that story as well. But you may want to start poking a little harder because, the problem is with long-haul COVID, literally these symptoms, they're still studying the ones that keep cropping up. The brain, the newest one, for example, is you've heard of brain fog. Now they're thinking what happens when the virus retreats. When it retreats, it leaves a spike protein in the brain. And that's that spike protein that is actually causing the brain fog. But again, these symptoms are coming so fast and changing so much. Look, frankly, the medical community does not know what the whole story is on this thing yet. There is indeed the genie is out of the bottle on this one. I mean, the transmissibility is off the map in terms of how well it moves through the population. The number of places on the human body it manages to attack or set up shop is staggering. And again, they're still coming to grips with that one too. So, yeah, I can understand for public health why they're saying, well, you know, we don't even know what the real symptoms are on this thing yet. But, you know, first step is you got to start collecting all the data in a hurry. And I do mean in a hurry, because this thing will continue to mutate. And it will be back around, trust me.
What's the scoreboard for you in terms of how many days, weeks that you've spent in hospital, how many days, weeks that you've been unable to return to normal life?
Yeah, time in hospital would be, let me see, 6, 15, 14, 20, 22. I would say 22, 24, maybe 25 days. I'm in doctor's offices. Oh, God. I have trouble putting a number on that one. I felt like I was setting up camp in all these different doctor's offices. Boy, let me tell you, these guys are really trying. They are. And as soon as they think there's another part of the body involved, they're shipping you off pronto to have that investigated too. And that includes things like MRIs. Stuff you never dreamed of. Showed up with some lesions on the liver. Well, you know, one version of that, Bob, is not good. That's called cancer. Another version is, hey, guess what? The gift that keeps on giving. It turns out COVID may be causing the lesions as well. So there's nothing, this thing escapes this thing. And so the time with the doctors, oh Lord, oh God, in the high multiple tens of days, I don't know, 30, 40, 50. And then times you can't do stuff, huge, huge impact on physical activity. You know, I still will, because I'm stubborn, I still insist on getting out there and trying to work out on my bike. I'm cheating. I'm using an electric bike now, which helps a lot. But, you know, even that's been cut by like 80%, 90%. Skiing got cut by 90, 95%. Pretty much lost the whole ski season. And, you know, you can tell it was so bad at the end, you'd ski one run and you were stopping every 300 feet because you couldn't breathe. And yet when you got out of the car that morning, it wasn't bad. So as soon as you put any stress on the body, can't play like that. So does that impact everything on your daily life? Absolutely. And, you know, I would sure ask, you know, caregivers around, you know, try to be patient with some of these people, because believe me, this ain't in their heads. They really are suffering. And it really does kind of ride herd on you night and day. I still get short of breath. I hit my car and got in my car coming home today to talk to you. And as soon as I got in the car, couldn't breathe. No air. Why? Well, gee, I walked at least 50 feet. God, that was too far, wasn't it? So that's the kind of limitation this brings to you.
You're watching life get back to normal for the rest of the population, but there's people like you, and you're not alone, who you don't know when life's going to get back to normal. So what would you hope and wish that public health would do? And what about the public themselves? What should they do?
You know, it's a tough one, because now you talk to the schizoid personality of any professor. You're now coming back to, you know, part of my area is macroeconomic policy along with marketing strategy. Look, what happened was macroeconomically, you were starting to find not just Canada, around the world, you were starting to see real macro economic negative impacts on the economies. Well, of course, nothing speaks louder than money in a lot of cases. And when people saw the market starting to slow down and saw, you know, things shutting down, you know, when the server economy collapsed, basically, and restaurants and bars were gone, you could start to see the backlash beginning to build. You know, that whole gang of people out there, as I used to say, sometimes I see a gang of 20-year-olds, I'd like to cut some collective throats when I look at them, because there they were, all not a single mask on, all boozing and up, having a great time. And it was just, quote, all about me. They didn't care about taking this home to their mother, or their father, or their granddad, to their little sister. They were just having a ball and let's booze it up. Well, that crowd were the crowd that never got vaccinated, and they played a key role in making sure this bug spread far and wide and in a big hurry. What happens now? Well, you know, you have two issues going on. Number one, you have a public distaste for isolation, for pandemic precautions, for masking, and you get pushback. You get those boneheads with their damn trucks driving through Ottawa. I'd handle those trucks. I'd grab every single truck and confiscate them, sell them all, and then use that to pay for the cost of running the COVID wards, because boy, did it ring up some public bills on that one. So, you know, the bad part is you're going to see those elements of society start to surface and push really hard if governments start to say, you know what, maybe we should go back into masking again. What would push it over the edge? If you got yet another variant that came out like the Delta and yet managed to be even more ferocious and started killing even more people, that would trigger behavior like masking and pandemic precautions. Do I have a lot of faith in either saying, A, I don't think governments currently have a taste for doing anything like that, and B, I'm not really convinced the total population in general has a taste for exercising the kind of control that might be required if, in fact, one of these newest mutants, and boy, they keep coming fast and furious, if one of these hits the lucky button and turns out to be a real size 12 killer. Because when it's out, sorry, folks, it's a little late, because it will move at a very, very high speed. And so it's a tough one. You know, nobody wants to bite the bullet, Bob. It's the old story, right? Not politicians, not business, not the poor guy running that poor little restaurant trying to make a living, or running that poor little bar trying to make a living, and he has nobody coming in the front door. Nobody has a taste for that either. So, but again, you're talking about the worst of the two devils. The one, you know, is one devil worse than the other, is what it boils down to. And if you get another Omicron version that has the same entry impact that the Delta variant had, you might see a lot of attitudes change in one hell of a hurry. Until then, I'm not going to be overly optimistic about seeing how quickly we're going to see a big swing in that behavior. Up until that point, let's go all the way back to where you started this thing. You know what? You're not a sissy if you wear the damn mask. You know, if you're not going to think about yourself, try thinking about somebody you love who's much more susceptible. They don't matter either, huh? Really? You know, remind me to stay away from you because you're not the kind of friend I'd like. So there's some real danger here yet. And if we get more data that this stuff is picking up speed, I would sure be one for individuals saying, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to start wearing that mask, especially when I'm in public. If I'm going to be in elevators, if I'm going to be in a bar, if I'm going to be at a movie, you know, a cinema, yeah, I'm going to wear the mask. What's your life worth? What's the life of your mother worth or your grandmother? I was on an award where there were four people. I'm pretty sure I was the only one who lived. I listened to the other three die over a 6-day and night period. Even getting off the ward, I said to the docs, you know, I'm a pretty tough guy. I've looked down the wrong end of 5 submachine guns. I don't panic easily. And you know what? I almost had PTSD. Listening to those people scream and cry and gargle and howl and cry for their sons and their mothers and their wives. Listening to the tears and just the agony. Let me be blunt. It sounded to me like these people were being eaten alive from the inside out. I hope your listeners got that message. Because if you ain't been on that ward, my friend, you have no idea what you're talking about. I would kind of say to the docs treating me, geez, you know, quietly, because of course they're not going to tell you. So kind of quietly, like, are all of them vaccinated? And of course, the docs and their nurses would just roll their eyes and look at me. And the eyes told me everything and the head shaking told me everything. Like, Lindsay, come on, you can ask a better question than that. And no, it was just all the perfect crowd. It was the whole gang. I'm generalizing now, but marketers are pretty good at spotting market segments. They just punched all the buttons for people who would be anti-vaxxers. The odd time that one or two could talk or croak, you just got that message right away. Little or no education, just opinionated as hell. All the stuff that just tips you off. And, you know, my hat's off to those poor doctors and nurses. They all had, every one of them had COVID. Some of them had COVID twice. They all were going back in. And boy, Bob, you could see the pain and the grief in their eyes. And they went in there every day and went back in and did their job. Again, if I could have gotten money from selling those trucks blocking Ottawa, it would have given each one of those doctors and nurses a $20,000 bonus because they sure deserved it. Taking away my rights, huh? Yeah, what about the rights of somebody else to live just so you can drink beer with your pals? Not quite. But so that's kind of what it's like from one end to the other. And boy, it ain't pretty, I'll tell you that. But it sure gets your attention and it sure ribbons home one thing. You're, what shall we say, rather susceptible and not at all invincible. I'm pretty darn good shape. I work out. I kind of do the right things, and it took me down like a piece of straw in a rainstorm. Nothing to it. Not going to quit. That's the first rule, Bob. Don't give up.
And thank you for sharing the story. And hopefully, it has an impression upon our listeners to get the vaccination if you haven't got yourself up to date. Wear a mask.
I hope so. You know, if I could say one thing, if your own life doesn't matter to you, could you not think about somebody you love, your mom, your dad, your little brother, your little sister, somebody who's got cancer in your family? Because you're going to take those people like take them out like there's nothing if they pick it up. And, you know, I saw people who just, man, they died very quickly once it got into them. So it's spooky. So yeah, please try to think of some other people, not just yourself here. If that means wearing a mask, you know what? Okay, you're not a sissy. Trust me, I weigh 260 pounds and it ain't all lard. I'm not afraid of wearing a mask.
Thanks again.
All right, take care, Bob. Nice talk to you.
Lindsay Meredith, the Professor Emeritus of Marketing at Simon Fraser University.
Time on the break. Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim.
In the Taiwan news, Elon Musk hampers Taiwan efforts to build backup internet for war. The entrepreneur wants Taipei to change its laws and give him 100% ownership of Starlink in Taiwan. In the wake of the severing of the two Taiwan Matsu submarine cables in February, efforts by Taiwan's government to set up a backup network in the event of a Chinese attack have become more urgent. In September last year, Taiwan announced plans to set up a satellite network similar to the use of Starlink in Ukraine as a backup in the event China tries to take the country offline. In the Asahi Shimbun, mayor promotes city watermelon festival by donning a fruit hat. Don't call Takizawa Mayor Satoru Takita a melonhead, even though he donned a round green hat in the shape of the area's specialty to promote the city's upcoming watermelon festival. The city's annual Suika Festival is so popular that it drew some 3,000 visitors in 2022, selling out as many watermelons in less than 2 hours. In the Hong Kong Free Press, Hong Kong app promoting pro-democracy businesses vanishes after arrests linked to self-exiled activists. Created in 2020, the Me app mapped out the locations of yellow businesses, restaurants, shops, and service providers that supported democracy in Hong Kong. It also provided discounts and information about the stores, but the app was not available on Friday morning. Meanwhile, Hong Kong's Press Freedom Index has dipped further, largely due to journalists being hesitant to criticize the central government, the Hong Kong Journalists Association said.
That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
In the Oregonian, giant troll sculptures coming to Portland and five other secret locations in the Pacific Northwest. The trolls, ranging in height from about 12 to 20 feet, are the creation of Danish artist and environmentalist Thomas Dambo. He constructs them with volunteer help using recycled materials, namely old wood pallets. His whimsical trolls appear in forests, along streams and rivers, and in other natural areas. The other trolls will be placed in Issaquah, Ballard, West Seattle, and on Bainbridge and Vashon Islands, though their exact locations will not be revealed. Instead, troll hunters will be encouraged to use a geotagging app to discover them in the wild, like a scavenger hunt, and explore the natural spaces they inhabit. In the Seattle Times, Seattle clears large encampment and Soto denies timing with All-Star Game. Streets along Soto outside the stadium, areas that tents and RVs usually occupy, are clear of homeless people. In their place, concrete blocks and no parking signs prohibit vehicles from parking there until July 11th, the day of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. In the Times Colonist, upcycled ice cream uses fruit edging toward compost pile. Ice cream maker 49 Below makes the frozen treat from unsold fruit from the ripe and ready pile at Root Cellar grocery stores. 49 Below has made 8 kinds of ice cream with the old fruit, starting with peaches and rosemary, pear chai crumble, pear ginger, orange creamsicle, grapefruit creamsicle, lemon graham bar, and white tiger, a twist on the classic orange and licorice ice cream, though this version comes without food coloring. In Canada, the National Zero Waste Council estimates as much as 2.3 million tons of food is wasted each year, and Canadian households waste an average of 140 kilograms of food annually.
That's Cascadia Calling on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
It don't matter what color you are, 'cause love will conquer hate.
Virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to people making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to
the thousands of folks that farm, pick, and transport blueberries across British Columbia, especially in the Fraser Valley and Richmond. It's BC Blueberry Day on July 15th, go out and buy a box of BC's Best Berries. Hey, while you're at it, you might as well pair them with a Nanaimo bar.
You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca.
That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of July 9th, 2023. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on the 9th of July in 1793, the Act Against Slavery in Upper Canada banned the importing of slaves and freed those born into slavery? And in 1993, the Canadian Parliament agreed to split the Northwest Territories to create Nunavut by 1999. Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. That's patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.